The World Cup, on off the ball, covering the good, the bad, and, well, the ugly, of what's happening in Qatar.
Neymar can push the ball between your legs because he just sees things.
Subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast feed now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
I'm delighted to say we're going to stick with the GAA and appointment that's happened in Wexford football over the last few days. And delighted to say that Áine Kinsler, the new Wexford football assistant manager, is with us on the line. Morning, Áine.
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
Flying it. Thanks, William, for jumping on. You've joined John Hegarty's backroom staff with the Wexford senior footballers. You were with the Hurlers last year.
Yeah, with the Wexford Hurlers last two seasons. Yeah. So probably one of the toughest decisions I've had to make in a sporting sense, I guess, to walk away from the hurling setup. You're leaving something you love to go into maybe a little bit of an unknown, but I've had the pleasure of working with John for the last 3 years with Shell Maliers in Wexford. So when he came to me, offered me a coaching role with, you know, more scope maybe than what I've been doing previously, it was just too good an opportunity for me to pass up.
And football's your background. Is it your love?
Yeah.
Or?
So I would have grown up from Fenna and Carlow originally. So I would have grown up playing ladies football my whole life. Would have represented Carlow the whole way up along. You know, had, we had a really good club in Fenna, St. Fortunes, and we had a nice bit of success there, winning Leinster. We were a Leinster Intermediate Club as well as several county titles. So ladies football is my background. But I took up camogie very late in life. And then somehow found myself in a hurling analysis gig when Colin Bonner came in and took over the Carlow Hurlers. So it kind of just all snowballed and took off from there. But the coaching thing is an area I've been wanting to try and branch into in recent times. So it's definitely an area that I would be probably relatively new to in such a hands-on capacity. But it's very exciting now.
Mm. You mentioned the scope there that John had said you're going to get a bit of a broader brief maybe than you had previously. So you're doing stats and video analysis with the Hurlers. So what's the brief now?
So just coaching, you know, and having an input in all aspects of team preparation. I would be very interested in all areas of performance. So being allowed now to have, you know, on the field time with the players, have an input into team selection, set up team play, tactics, and then I think how that marries with the analysis side of things, I think it's a really good complement to each other. So it's a great role for me to be in, for me to learn and develop now in this capacity.
Do you pick up little bits on you as you go along? Like, would you be someone who kind of invests themselves and really digs deep into the world of coaching? Like, you've worked with the likes of Davy Fitz, for example, so you're picking up little tidbits as you go along?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I've been incredibly fortunate with the managers that I've gotten to work with across every spectrum of the game, from a schools level to a club level to an inter-county level. And everyone that you would work with, you'd always be taking up little bits and nuggets from them. And like the time I got to spend with Colin Bonner in Carlow, that was my first experience in management at any level. And the amount I would take from those years I spent with Colin, and I guess when I was a player, I was very rigid in my thinking of how you had to go about your business and how you had to prepare, and always felt that you nearly had to be the most serious person in the room. But Colm showed me that there's other ways of dealing with people. Every manager that I've worked with as I've moved across the pathway the last number of years, I've taken little bits and pieces and kind of brought the things that interest me the most along with me as I continue on the journey now.
Have you a style of football that you'd like to see Wexford playing on you, or what's your, because obviously these things tend to be on vogue at a certain point and depending on where you're at in the overall sort of hierarchy of football in the country, but what sort of style would you like to see Wexford footballers playing?
Like, I'd love to see the lads be more attacking and be more adventurous and take more risks. I think the way the game is moving at the minute, you have to be brave enough to take risks. And I think very often they can be rewarded. And again, you have to marry that with a practical sense of being in Division 4 as well. So you have to look at having a strong defensive shape and being able to work out from there as well. But for me at the minute, in the short term, it's just about getting to know the players. I wouldn't know many of them, obviously, having spent the last couple of years involved with the Hurlers. One or two of them off the Shells panel I would know well. But aside from that, right now, the short-term view for me is just to get in, get to know them, try establish some connection with all of them, get to know them as people. And I suppose that'd be something that would be very crucial to me, is creating common touch points with the players as people, and then using that insight into how they function as people to try and enhance the learning that occurs then on the coaching pitch.
We had the famous, infamous incident of Jerome Johnston, the Kilcoo coach, not wanting to take charge of his club, Ballybay, when they were playing his home club, which a lot of people kind of were falling down two sides on. But you'll have the unenviable task of taking on Carlow in Division 4 this year on you. Yeah. Is that a tough thing to do, taking on your own county?
It'll definitely be strange. I guess the fact that when I was working in Carlow, it was with the hurlers, and they would be a group that would hold a very special place in my heart based off, you know, the success we had and what a brilliant group they were at that time. It'll definitely be strange to go up against your own county, but I wouldn't have that same familiarity or knowledge with the Carlow footballers at the same level. So whilst it'll be strange, I don't feel I'll have the same conflict as Jerome had a couple of weeks ago.
It's Laois up first for Wexford in the preliminary round of Leinster, and then of course the winner plays Dublin in the Leinster quarter final, which is a big task. Is it tough for other teams in Leinster to get, I guess, psyched up for the province, given the fact that Dublin are so dominant?
In a sense, yes, but I guess how you frame that at the outset of the year, what you set up as your success criteria for the group you're with, will determine that. And also, there's a minimum of 10 competitive games for Wexford between now and the kickoff of the Leinster Championship. So how those 10 games pan out between O'Byrne Cup and Division 4 of the league will have a huge say upon how we arrive to the starting point of the Leinster Championship. So I guess, and it's the same for every team in Division 4, everyone wants to get out of there. But any player who has spent time down there, or any coach or manager who has worked with teams in Division 4, knows how competitive it is, what a dogfight of a division it is. So the medium term will be looking at trying to have a really strong Division 4 campaign and try to get out of there. But that'll be the target for every team in that division as well.
And I presume you look at something like the Tailteann Cup, Anya, that can be transformative for, we don't know yet, obviously, because we've only just had the first ever winners of it, what sort of an impact that'll have on the likes of a Cavan or Westmeath, all those extra games under their belt. But I presume putting together a big run of the Tailteann Cup will be a big goal for you this year.
Yeah, it'll be really important. And I think you just look at what Westmeath did last year, their approach to it, what it meant to them as a group, what it meant to the county as a collective. And I was fortunate enough a couple of weeks ago at the performance analysis conference in Carlow IT to listen to Jack Cooney and Thomas Mound talk about their experience working with the Westmeath footballers and the approach they took. And you couldn't but be inspired by their story and their approach to things. So I think it's a fantastic competition. I hope it continues on in the vein that it has for its inaugural year, because I think it is something that could be very worthwhile for Division 3 and Division 4 counties.
You've left this long trail of success behind you as well, Castlebridge, Shelmaliers. What's the secret sauce?
Oh, I think I've just been very fortunate with where the groups I've gotten involved with and at the time I've gotten to work with them. From the get-go in the Carlow Hurlers right along, I think all those groups have just, the age profile has been really good. They've been at a point in time where they've been taking themselves seriously and have been quite ambitious. And like, they've done more for me probably than I have done for them. And I think particularly of the work with Shelmaliers and the doors it's opened for me in a Wexford GA sense, it's been massive. And the run we had last year in the Leinster Football Championship, the day above in Louth against Nave Martin, it'll be one of those memories that will stick with me forever. It's one of the best days I've ever had in sport, which is a crazy thing to say, given that I'm not from down there, or I've only been involved with the club for a relatively short space of time, but I've been very fortunate with who I've gotten to work with.
What's the long-term goal? Would you, or maybe not even that long-term, you see yourself as a manager at inter-county level at some point down the track?
That would be probably a long-term thing. Develop as a coach, I suppose, is the immediate thing. Maybe look at getting involved in a couple of years' time at a club management level. I think as well, like, and it's been lovely, the reaction I've had since the piece last week has been great, and people have been so positive and so supportive. But I've just been thinking about that this trickle is only going to get more and more. Like, we're seeing a slow creep of more women coaches into the men's game. And I think the reason why it's going to develop more and more and become a way more normal occurrence is because people forget that female sport is still in its infancy in this country in relative terms to its male counterparts. So much time, energy and investment has been given to increasing female participation numbers in sport and keeping females playing sport for longer. But I think now the current generation that are playing, and maybe girls in their teens, the same logical progression from playing to coaching and managing is going to develop there now. It already exists in the men's game. We're just a little bit younger and we haven't developed or matured as a sport yet. So I think of, like, you look at that Meath ladies team, I think loads of them will end up going into coaching simply because it's going to become more and more common to do. It's going to become the logical progression. So I think that's what's going to happen over the next decade. It's going to be the next great evolution of female sport in this country.
And if they have the visibility of, like, obviously Anne Downey took on the Ballyragget men's team a couple of years ago, and the visibility of people like yourself doing that, then it becomes less of a, geez, I'm not sure I could do that. It's like, well, here's an obvious path now.
Yeah, and it's funny because for me, this doesn't feel like that big a step, because I've never actually worked with a women's team. I've only ever been involved in male sport. So for me, it feels like a very natural step. But if I remove myself from the centre of this and kind of place myself externally and think about if I was watching this being written about someone else or someone else in this position, I'd be like, that's brilliant. Oh my God, that's fantastic. I even think of my own reaction when I saw Elaine Hart being involved in the Tipperary football backroom team, or Lizzie Kent in Wexford, the Wexford ladies footballers. So to increase that visibility, I think, is important. And just to let women know that we only have to push the door now. Sometimes I think because you have to battle for so much for so long in certain regards as women, that we almost expect the door to be locked against us, where I think this door is waiting to be pushed. And we only need to give it a little nudge and then just step through into the space.
As you say, Anya, it's been a slow creep of female coaches into the men's game. Like, I think of the likes of Mags Darcy and Cleo O'Connor as examples in my head. Do you find all this talk, and I guess the headlines of the last week about this being a big moment and breaking the glass ceiling, do you see that as patronising, or do you see it as do you maybe understand the intrigue?
I do understand it. I 100% understand it. And maybe I would feel its significance a little bit more if I was coming from maybe being involved in a women's team and stepping across into a men's team. But for me, like, any team that I've worked with, any player in the room or any manager, all they really care about is, can you do the job that you're there to do? And once you can do that and you're adding value to the group, whether you're man or woman or anything else doesn't really come into the equation. You're just there to try and help them perform better. It was great. My first year at Wexford, Mags was there and I got to work with her and learn from her. I was actually chatting to Cleana during the week about this new initiative that's been launched, about developing a female coaching pathway in GA. So that's all very exciting. And that coaching pathway now, making that more visible and developing a mentorship program, I think that aligns with what I was saying a couple of moments ago about the resources and investment now that's going to be made to allow more women progress into a coaching sense and a managing sense.
Your family are no stranger to the GEA world either, Anya. I know your sister Marie is high up in the GPA's National Executive Committee as well. So clearly runs in the blood.
Yeah, no, it does. And I guess I was thinking about this since the piece last week, and people were asking, how did you get into this? And both me and my sister were actually very lucky growing up in that we had lots of female coaches and managers along the way. So Geraldine Marr would have been my manager for when I was minor with Carlo. She also would have come back in and done a stint when we were as senior manager. Two club mates of mine, two brilliant women who have had a significant impact on me growing up, I suppose. One, Niamh Dobbs, would have been a selector on my brother's minor football team in Carlo. And then Jenny O'Neill, who unfortunately, really sadly, passed away a couple of years ago. She would have coached Maria under 14. So we both have had very strong female role models in our lives growing up that kind of makes this feel just a very normal thing to do.
We're going to follow your path with interest, and I'm sure it's going to be a long one as well. Anya, really pleasure to speak with you this morning. Thanks a million for jumping on.
Thanks very much for having me, boys.
OTB AM
with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.